So, hi everyone, how are you going today? Everyone going all right? What kind of meditation would you like to do this afternoon? Anyone got any preferences? And don't tell me that you've let go of all your preferences, I don't believe you. Okay, because last night we voted on the Dhamma talk, so now we can vote. See, the reason if you get that people vote for things, then they can't complain. It's just like the government, right? Anyway, so okay, three meditations. I'll give you the option: breath meditation, loving kindness meditation, or impermanence meditation. Okay, so breath meditation. Ooh, not very popular. Everyone's bored by breath meditation. Loving kindness meditation. Okay, somewhat more. And impermanence meditation. Ooh, which is that the winner? I think impermanence is the winner. Okay. Right. That shows something very significant. And when I figure out what that is, I'll let you know. Okay. We'll do some meditation on impermanence. And, okay, so normally we do 45 minutes meditation. Is that about right? Is that right? Yeah, so it started about 15:15. So I'll talk about the meditation first for a few minutes, and then we can do some meditation on impermanence together. Okay, so this meditation on impermanence is one of the fundamental Buddhist meditations. And, of course, impermanence itself is just like a very kind of broad theme of meditation. So, of course, you can approach this from many different directions. There's no one way of doing it. What I can offer you this afternoon is just one approach, which you might find useful, but there are many others. Another thing to bear in mind is that when we're doing the meditation for this afternoon, the meditation, in a sense, the meditation on impermanence that you can teach is not the real impermanence, okay? I mean, that's pretty much true generally of pretty much everything in Buddhism, but anyway. Right, so what we can talk about is the idea of impermanence. We can talk about methods and approaches and so on, and you can sit and meditate and do that. But there will come a day when you're doing the meditation and suddenly you'll see something and it will be gone and it will shock you to your core and you realize that's what impermanent means, right? Impermanence isn't... You realize like for the first time you're actually seeing it. So what is this concept of impermanence all about? Well, simply the idea that the world that we're living in is a world of conditions, a world of change, a world where everything comes and goes. And in such a world, to get attached to things, to hold on to them, is to invite sorrow. And so the application of the idea of impermanence, it can happen at any level. Right? It can happen on a moment-to-moment level. This thought I'm having is impermanent. This feeling I'm having is impermanent. This thing I'm seeing is impermanent. It can also happen at a sort of a bigger level, like it might be this car I have is impermanent, or this house I have is impermanent, or this relationship that I'm in is impermanent. This friendship with this person is impermanent. Right? My life itself is impermanent. Life on Earth is impermanent. The environment is impermanent. The galaxy is impermanent. The universe is impermanent. And in fact, all of these different levels were taught by the Buddha. He actually taught meditation on impermanence at every kind of level, from the smallest right through to the biggest cosmic level of impermanence. So wherever you go, whatever you look in the world, you never find anything which is going to last forever. So by doing the meditation on impermanence, in a sense, what we're doing is we're programming ourselves, we're priming ourselves, getting ready, so that it doesn't hurt so much. Okay? And when if we can practice starting with the small things, starting with the things that don't matter to us all that much, right? This particular thought or this particular sound or something like that. We start with these things, I'm not really bothered about it, it doesn't really affect me very much. And so we can train ourselves. We see those things as impermanent. And as time goes on, it will become more kind of an automatic thing, an automatic response. So whenever you buy a new car, you drive it out of the showroom, and your first thought should be, it's impermanent. Whenever you get a new shiny phone, you take it out of the box, it's impermanent. When you go to a nice restaurant and you order a lovely meal, you look at the meal so delicious in front of you, you say it's impermanent. Right? It's okay. Right? And then you enjoy the meal. You don't enjoy it less because you know it's impermanent, right? Enjoy it. It tastes just as good. The car that you buy or the phone you have is just as shiny, it's just as nice. But inside yourself, you're not so caught up in it. You're not so invested in it. You can just enjoy those things and then for what they are, and then you just let them go. And when you have them, that they're good. And when you don't have them, it's okay as well. So impermanence is really a training in learning how to let go. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, what I might teach, method I might teach for this afternoon is a method that's based on the what we call the six senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and the mind as the sixth sense. And so what we'll do in the meditation is that we'll take each of these in turn as an object for reflection. Investigate, inquire, reflect on. And you can reflect on these in different ways and in deeper and deeper aspects. And what you're doing when you're doing this reflection on the six senses is that you realize that this world that surrounds us or that appears to surround us, this world of people and events and trees and fans and buildings, that this world is ultimately something that we just perceive through our senses, and that we're constructing that world every moment. And we realize that each one of these senses is impermanent. It's changing. What we see is changing. What we're hearing is changing. What we're smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, all of that is changing. Right? Not only is each sense changing, but the relationship between those senses is changing. Our responses to those senses are changing. Yeah? Our thoughts about what we're seeing is changing. Everything is radically changing and radically impermanent all the time. Everything is impermanent all the time. So when you investigate and reflect like that, initially it's just a conceptual process. It's just directing awareness in terms of these things and using that to reflect, to understand our experience a bit. And because we're only doing a short meditation here this afternoon, probably won't go any deeper than that. It's okay. But when it does go deeper, when the insight starts to roll and starts to flow, what you'll find is that the whole world starts to fall apart. Everything starts to break up and collapse. It can become very strange. You realize that these things are very different You know, like you normally, if you maybe if you're talking to somebody, right? You see somebody and you hear their words and you're talking to them, and it's just like one thing. But then you break it up and you're thinking, what's what I'm seeing is color. What I'm hearing is vibrations in the air. And that, where does that person that I'm talking to exist? And then they disappear, and you just stand there with your mouth open, going ah, and they think you're very weird. Hopefully that doesn't last for too long, okay? But these are just some of the insights that come. And when the insights strike us, right? It's like you see for the first time. You've always known these things, right? You've always known them, but when you see them for the first time, it strikes your heart and everything changes. Okay, so let's do some guided meditation on the impermanence of the six senses. We'll do that for the next 45 minutes. So sitting quietly. Let your body settle back into meditation posture. is being content in the present, not worrying about the past, not running off to the future. Just being here, present, now. When the different thoughts and so on arise, and we just be aware of those. Don't try to push them away. Don't try to make them come to an end. And just have loving kindness. Any thought that you're thinking, any memory that you're having, have compassion for them. Have love for them. Give them a hug. They always come from some kind of tension, some kind of suffering. So we just have love for them, give them a hug, and let them, just let them become quiet when they're ready. And when your mind feels reasonably quiet and settled, you bring awareness to the six senses. And we do that one by one, starting with the eyes. So we have our, most likely we have our eyes closed, but you can still see some colour in there. And if you'd like, you can open your eyes a little bit. And we just become aware of what it's like to see. And you notice that that experience has two aspects. There's the external aspect and the internal aspect. Externally, we have the sights, the colour, the light, the field of vision. And that somehow feels out there, outside of us. And then internally we have the awareness of that. The subjective impression of that sight. And as well as that, internally we also have the organ of sight, that is of course the eye. And so there, we can feel that sense organ, locate that in our body. Feel what the eyes are like sitting in their sockets. Without them, we couldn't see. So the internal eyes, the external sights, and the internal subjective impression of seeing. Notice the quality that each one of these things has. Consider them as much as you can, quite separately. The eye is something which is quite different from the sight, from what we see. It's a totally different kind of thing. Notice that each one of those things is impermanent. The field of sight is impermanent. The light that's coming into our eyes is changing every moment. It might not be changing very much. We're in quite a static environment here. But still, It's changing. Our eyeballs are changing. They're moving around, twitching. They don't stay still. The eye consciousness is changing. It's impermanent. All of these things reacting to each other. Connecting. And that whole field of vision, everything taken together, that's changing even more so. From one moment to the next, it never is the same. What is there to get attached to? Why do we get so caught up in sights? Next, let's consider the sense of hearing. We shift our attention from the sight to our ears. Listen to what's happening around. You can hear different sounds, the distant sound of traffic, the sound of my voice, sometimes the sound of someone shifting in the hall, birds outside. The more you listen, the more detail you can hear. But actually, none of those things are real. They're just ideas in your mind. All you actually hear is sound. You don't hear birds, you don't hear cars, you don't hear voices. All you hear is sound. So instead of listening for the things, you just listen for the sound. And you hear that changing, changing ceaselessly. It doesn't have any meaning. It's just empty. And inside, you have the inner sense space, the ear. And again, you can feel that with your mind. You place your attention on the ear. You can feel how what it's like sitting there on the side of your head. That physical organ, without which there would be no hearing. And then the third element is the awareness of that hearing, the subjective impression of that hearing. the awareness of sound. Notice that this hearing is something completely different to seeing. It's a completely different kind of thing. It's like a different dimension. It's like a whole different world to live in. And that world of hearing also is impermanent. It's shifting and changing. Our consciousness shifts, our awareness of the hearing shifts. The sounds change. Everything changes, it's tottering and crumbling. Hardly do you become aware of a sound before it's gone. And when you look at it, you investigate closely, you realize it has this structure to it. It's not just a thing, it's a conditioned process. A complex process involving many elements working together to make it possible to hear anything. Anything changes in that process, anything doesn't work properly, hearing stops. And moving on to the sense of smell. Once again, focusing on the internal sense organ, the nose. And you can feel that sitting there right in your face. It's kind of an underappreciated sense. We usually don't notice it all that much. But if you pay close attention, then you can smell that there is some kind of smell in the room. Hard to define, maybe, hard to pin down, but there's something there. And you notice that that's also changing. The object of that sense is changing. Most obviously, it changes as we breathe in and out. The senses of smell, they just drift by, don't they? Come and go. They're often elusive. They will be in the background. They're giving more richness to our experience without us noticing them too much. But when you do notice, you pay attention, you see it's the same kind of structure to the other senses, internal sense base, external smells, and then the subjective impression of that, the awareness of smelling. But even though it's similar kind of structure, it's a completely different kind of experience. Quite different to hearing, quite different to seeing. But it too is impermanent. It's changing. It never stays the same. And then there's the sense of taste. We have the internal, the base of the sense of taste is the tongue. The sense object. Usually in your mouth there's like a, if you pay attention, there's a kind of subtle sour or slightly bitter taste. Not much, but there's something there. And you pay attention. And there's the awareness of that. Always these three things, the sense base, the object of sense, and the awareness of that. And it's quite different. The taste is quite different from smelling or hearing or seeing. It's another dimension that we live in. But it too is impermanent. The things we taste are impermanent. The tongue, the consciousness, all of these things are impermanent. Each one shifting and changing as they work together, even shifting and changing even more. Nothing but impermanence. Then bring attention to the body. Again, we have the inner base of sensation, the whole body, actually the nervous system of the body, but it goes pretty much everywhere. You can feel it move around your body, around the skin. Yeah, the whole sensitive surface of the body, and even inside, we can feel things. And the objects of the body sense, touches, stimuli, you can feel right now the touch of the cloth on your skin. You can feel the gentle breeze, the pressure of the seat as you're sitting. Different sensations, energies, tensions inside your body. All of these things working together, creating the physical sense of being an embodied self. And when we reflect on, bring awareness to those things, we realize that all of these are just perceptions as well. Actually, what we're experiencing is just different kinds of sensations. We don't experience carpet or clothes or wind, just experience touches. Many different kinds, many different qualities, but all having something in common, something that marks them off from being different than all the other senses. Different from sights, from sounds, from smells, from tastes. of that impermanent, all of that shifting. You try to focus on one specific feeling in your body. And the more you try to pin it down, the harder it is to find. The more you go into it, the more it seems empty. Everything shifting, everything changing all the time. And coming to the mind, this one more subtle, harder to see. And until we've really discerned the five physical senses very clearly, it'll be very hard to discern the mind. But still we can get some kind of idea of it. You can see the mind seems to have a similar kind of structure to the other senses. We can feel like their inner awareness, like that sense of subjective impression, and then the outwardly, the things of which we are aware, the thoughts, ideas, sense impressions, and so on. Images, memories. It's like they somehow exist external to us. We're in here aware, and we look out and we see those things. And here the impermanence becomes even more dramatic, even more powerful. The things that we are aware of, shifting and changing so fast. Our awareness, the internal sense of awareness, shifting and changing so fast. And the mind always reacting to pains in the body, reacting to a feeling of restlessness, reacting to this, reacting to that, pulling us this way, pulling us that way. Now we're coming near to the end of the meditation. And before we finish, just take a minute to reflect back over the practice. Look back at what we've done together and just see what's happened, what's changed. How did I see or perceive each of these different senses? Could I see the impermanence in them? What happened when I saw that impermanence? Did it shift me or change me at all? How do I relate to experience now? Knowing a little bit more deeply how it's all made up. And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe. May all beings realize Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Very good. So one thing just to comment at the end of that meditation, one thing that you've probably noticed during that meditation is that, well, your mind tends to be active and running around and doing stuff, so it's hard to keep your awareness and focus on track. And of course, this is why we have the different aspects of meditation in Buddhism. So the breath meditation or loving kindness meditation, these meditations mainly emphasizing what we call samatha or tranquilizing the mind. And so the more you tranquilize the mind, the more you become peaceful, then of course the more easily you can focus on these things, the more your awareness will naturally stay in one place, and so your contemplation can go much deeper. So what you often find with that kind of meditation, contemplating impermanence and the senses and these kinds of things, at the end of the meditation, you might feel not very different from how you started, right? It doesn't necessarily make you as peaceful as compared with, say, doing breath meditation or something. That's not a hard and fast rule by any means. It can vary tremendously. But on the whole, you'll tend to find that you feel more or less the same at the end. So just remember that that meditation has a different purpose. The primary of the purpose of that meditation is not to tranquilize your mind and soothe your emotions and make you peaceful. The primary purpose is to deepen wisdom. So the benefits of that will come, but they will often you won't notice them until later. Right? They'll come more gradually, they're not so obvious. So that kind of meditation is a good one to do from time to time. Yeah, probably most people want to emphasize practicing breath meditation or loving kindness or something and making your mind peaceful, and that's kind of your main meditation. But then from time to time, if you do something like that, then that can be very useful. Okay, did I see Christine with a box of... No, I did not see Christine with a box of questions. Okay, very good. Does anybody have any questions? See, now Eddie's not here and we miss him. Please. Christine.
Dante, thank you. To get my words organized. There seems to come a point sometimes in my practice where I have that, it's almost like I'm the awareness is really opening up, but then it kind of stays in a holding pattern, and I don't know what effort is required to then deepen it. Is it just a matter of persisting with the same practices, or could it be that the tool that I'm using may not be effective for me at that moment? It's kind of there's a deep understanding, but you know that there's more, but you just can't get in there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just be patient. That will always be there until you become an arahant, yeah? You always have that kind of sense, right? Because that's how life is, isn't it? We learn a little bit more truth, and we know that there's a lot more which is just outside. So don't worry about that, you just take your time. Most of the time, all that's what's really required and what's really takes you to the next level of insight is more stillness. The more stillness there is, the more clarity there is, then the insight will drop down. But the way that the insight happens is at least it appears very random. Okay, and so you can sit and do this meditation a dozen times or 100 times, right? And then one time you sit there and it's like, wow, everything just falls away. And you just see things, you know, the way that you've never seen them before. And of course, what's happening is that gradually, each time you meditate, you're gradually training your mind, overcoming the kind of the distorted perceptions that we usually have, and having more wise and more clear perceptions. Each time you're doing that, training your mind a little bit, little bit, little bit, until you're finally ready. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like everyone's very quiet today, so that's fine. If there's no more questions, maybe we can finish up. Okay, we'll finish by paying respects to the Triple Gem.